Travel restrictions, coronavirus, and the role they both play in impacting economic growth. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. When coronavirus arrived in Europe, Italy was one of the worst affected nations, and it took action swiftly. At one point under its lockdown, people were not allowed to venture more than 200 meters from their homes. Starting today, though, they can travel freely within the country and to and from other European nations. As the BBC's Mark Lowen reports from Rome, that's crucial for Italy's tourism sector.
The first country in the world to impose a national lockdown almost 3 months ago is now lifting the last remnants of it. With more than 33,000 deaths, Italy has been ravaged by the virus. But the rate of new infections is at its lowest since the start of the pandemic, and with 13% of its economy based on tourism, Italy is desperate for visitors to return. Restrictions on travelling within regions of Italy have been removed, and all travel to and from the European Union, the Schengen zone and the United Kingdom is now allowed, although not yet for visitors travelling via those countries but starting their journey from elsewhere.
Mark Lowen reporting there. Well, European financial markets are seeing a broad rally as nations in the region continue to ease their lockdowns. But quarantine measures to prevent further spread of COVID-19 have become an economic and political issue this summer. Because quarantine policy isn't straightforward across the continent, travel planning has become difficult for consumers who want to get away and businesses that desperately need the revenue. Guntram Wolf, director of the European economic think tank Bruegel, explains the economic cost of quarantine.
The tourism sector is going to be extremely strongly affected this year, and it might even last well into next year. I think there will be quite a bit of bankruptcies once the virus is over. There will be a reemergence of the sector. So there might be new companies emerging, and the hotels, I mean, the buildings are not damaged. So someone else might own the buildings. But clearly, the current owners take a huge hit.
There's been talk of so-called air bridges, which are basically just quarantine-free zones that people can travel from one country to another as nations try to contain this pandemic. Do you think those will work as expected? Could that be a more permanent feature of the travel industry in a post-COVID world?
Overall, these corridors could be sort of an attempt to reduce a bit the damage, especially this summer. If there's some corridors to Greece or to Italy, to specific beaches, and those beaches are pretty nicely isolated from the rest of the country. Perhaps some random tests in the aircraft. I mean, these kind of things can actually help.
There's been a bit of controversy here in the UK about a plan to require two-week quarantines for foreign visitors. Other nations like Spain won't require quarantines. Italy today is now allowing European travelers to enter freely. But could these sort of disparate policies around the continent just discourage people from even trying to go abroad?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of confusion, absolutely. Nobody knows really what kind of rules apply where, and the rules change. My understanding is that the European Commission is trying to set up a website which has an interactive map where everything is centralized so that people can more easily find out what is permissible or not. But I would say a lot of people might just decide to do their holidays at the lake closest by.
Guntram Wolf, director of the European economic think tank Bruegel. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Sweden captured attention for its relaxed approach to containing the spread of COVID-19 this year. The government encouraged social distancing, but didn't close shops and restaurants, allowed those younger than 16 to go to school, and kept travel open for European visitors. That helped the economy continue to grow in the first quarter, unlike many other nations. But with the highest death rate per capita, the state epidemiologist and architect of that strategy said today on Swedish public radio that a policy between what Sweden and the rest of the world did might have been a better strategy. When it comes to the economics of it all, Robert Berquist at financial services group SEB says it's not just lockdown, but a slew of other factors that will ultimately impact Sweden's economy.
In the short term, I think that the Swedish economy, especially the domestic economy, has performed a bit better than other economies. But in the longer term, I think there are other factors. Exit policies in other countries in Europe, we are very dependent on exports. It also depends on recovery strategy. What I think is good for Sweden, that is that we have strong government finances, but in the medium and longer term, I think there should be other factors that should decide the outcome for the Swedish economy.
Do you think stricter restrictions could come in place in light of these comments this morning?
I'm not so sure about that, because I think that our politicians realize that entering a new period with lockdowns, it will be a huge price tag for that. And I don't think that we can afford that. So I think if we face this kind of second wave, I think we have to get a kind of new strategy.
The government expects the economy to contract about 7% this year, and it's unleashed more than $25 billion to help combat that slowdown. Do you think more will need to be done?
Yes, I think so. Government debt in Sweden, we expect it to be around 50% of GDP at the end of this year. And I think they will deliver more measures. Maybe not in the next 1 to 2 months, but we have now left the most acute phase. But then during the second half, we should focus much more on recovery. And I also believe that the government will continue to spend more money.
Robert Berquist, Chief Economist at SEB. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Another quick check of financial markets for you. European benchmarks are up between 1.4 and 2% amid signs the worst might be over for business activity due to coronavirus lockdowns. Still, a closely watched gauge shows the service sector is still in contraction and a long way off from full recovery. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.